Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin. Vessalatu vesselam ala seyyidil mursalin ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve sellim teslimen kethira. Selamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuhu. Elhamdülillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us to gather to commemorate the historic day of Ashura. Ashura is a very important day in the life of this ummah for a number of reasons. One of the distinctions of this day is one of the days that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to fast. And in fact, as we'll come to inshallah, there are opinions, the opinion of Abu Hanifa and others, that before Ramadan was made incumbent, the second year of the Hijrah, that fasting, the day of Ashura, was the obligatory fast for the Muslims. And Imam Shafi'i and others say it was Sunnah Mu'akkadah, highly, highly encouraged. So we start with this topic, inshallah, fasting on the day of Ashura. So it's related from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يوم عاشوراء كانت تصومه الأنبياء فصوموه أنتم فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet, he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, concerning the day of Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram, the Prophets used to fast this day, therefore all of you fasted. And this hadith, qarrajahu Baqiy ibn Makhlad. Baqiy, the son of Makhlad, who died in 276 after the Hijra, was the first great muhaddith of Al-Andalus, the first great hadith scholar of Islamic Spain. He was the first one to narrate many, many hadith in Spain, and he spread the science of hadith in Islamic Spain. And he has a musnad similar to the musnad of Imam Ahmed. It's the musnad of Al-Imam Baqi ibn Makhlad. So the prophets before this ummah used to fast this day. The Jews and Christians used to fast this day. فَقَالَ دَلْهَمُ بْنُ صَالِحِ قُتُلِ إِكْرَمَ عَشُرَ مَا أَمْرُ قال أذنبت قريش في الجاهلية ذنبا فتعاظم في صدورهم فسألوا ما توبتهم قيل صوم عاشوراء يوم العاشر من المحرم. So the Quraysh in Jahiliyyah also used to fast on Ashura, and the Prophet ﷺ, he used to fast this day even before he went to Medina. He would fast it in Mecca. So Dalham, the son of Salih, he says that Ikrama said to me, or I said to Ikrama, what is it about Ashura? And he, Ikrama said that the Quraysh committed a grave sin on that day in Jahiliyyah before Islam, and it weighed greatly in their hearts, on their hearts rather, literally in their breasts, but it weighed greatly on their hearts. So they asked, what is the atonement for this day? And it was said that you should fast the day of Ashura. So they began fasting it even before Islam. That is the 10th day of Al-Muharram. And the Prophet ﷺ used to fast it before Islam in Mecca, before he was called to the prophetic office. As you mentioned, the Jews used to fast the day. في البخاري ومسلم في الصحيحين عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة فوجد اليهود صياما أو صواما يوم عاشوراء فقال لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذا اليوم الذي تصومونه قالوا هذا يوم عظيم أنجى الله فيه موسى وقومه وأغرق فرعون وقومه فصامه موسى شكرا فنحن نسومه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنحن أحق وأولى بموسى منكم فصامه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمر بالصحابة بصيامه عند الصحابة. So it's related that in Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to Medina, and he found that the Jews were fasting on this day, and he said to them, what is this day that you are fasting? And they said, it is a great day. So the Quraysh were fasting it in Mecca, but for another reason. So because of a sin they committed. So when he came to Medina, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was surprised to find the Jews also fasting that day. So he inquired, and they said, it's a great day. It's the day that Allah saved Moses and his people, and drowned Pharaoh and his people. So Moses fasted that day out of thankfulness to Allah, thankfulness to God. So we also fasted. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, we have more right to Moses than you. So the Messenger of Allah fasted that day, and he ordered his companions to fast it also. Fi riwayah, another version of this hadith, has the addition, وَهَذَا يَوْمٌ إِسْتَوَتْ فِيهِ السَّفِينَةُ عَلَى الْجُودِي فَصَامَ نُوحٌ وَمُوسَى عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ شُكْرًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So the addition states that this was the day that the ark came to rest on the Mount of Judi. Therefore, Noah fasted this day and Moses fasted this day out of their thanks to Allah, be he glorified, mighty and majestic. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما في الصحيحين يعني البخاري ومسلم صام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عاشوراء وأمر بصيامه فلما فرض رمضان ترك ذلك يعني الأمر بالصحابة بالصيام. So is related by Ibn Umar, he said that the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to fast Ashura, and he ordered his companions to fast it. When the month of Ramadan was made obligatory to fast, he left that is to say, he left off the order, but he continued to fast it voluntarily. And there are many hadith to this effect. Another narration conveys another aspect of Ashura. فعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أيضا أنه قال حين صام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عاشوراء وأمر بصيامه قالوا يا رسول الله إنه يوم يعظمه اليهود والنصارى فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا كان العام المقبل إن شاء الله صمنا اليوم التاسع قبل عاشوراء. وروى الإمام أحمد في المسند عن ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صوموا يوم عاشوراء وخالفوا اليهود وصوموا قبله يوما أو بعده يوما. So it's related that Imam Ahmed relates in his Musnad that when the Prophet صلى الله peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, or the Messenger of Allah peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, fasted Ashura and ordered his companions to fast it, they said, O Messenger of Allah, it's a day that the Jews and Christians magnify. Then the Messenger of Allah said, then when the next year comes, we will fast the ninth day, or meaning the day before the 10th day of Muharram Ashura. So this is the basis for fasting the day before. And another version of the hadith related by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad that the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, fast the day of Ashura and differ from the Jews, fast along with it the day before it or the day after it. So again, that's the basis for fasting the 9th along with the 10th or the 11th along with the 10th. Another practice associated with this day is to give charity on the day of Ashura.
فروي عن عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال من صام عاشوراء فكأنما صام السنة ومن تصدق فيه كان كصدقة السنة.
So it's related from Amr, Abdullah, the son of Amr, the son of Al-As. He says that the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that whoever fasts the day of Ashura is as if he's fasted the entire year. And whoever gives charity on the day of Ashura is as if he's given charity for the entire year. So giving charity on this day is also a highly desirable practice. Another desirable practice is to spend for your family, treat your family on the day of Ashura.
فروي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من وسع على أهله يوم عاشوراء وسع الله عليه سائر السنة.
So whoever spends and treats his family on the day of Ashura, Allah Ta'ala will spend on him throughout the rest of the year. So this is another highly desirable practice for this day. So all of these things are customs we should try to introduce into our families, into our communities. And this is the process of constructing our Islamic culture, that we have festivities, occasions, customs, traditions associated with certain Islamic dates, events, practices that give richness to our religion. So if we pray, fast, and just go through the motions, but it's Ashura. That's why I bought you this new bike. And remember, that's from the blessings of Ashura. As you grow up, it's a blessed day. Tayyib, here's something amazing that most people aren't familiar with. Some are. That many of the animals and insects and critters used to fast on Ashura.
فروي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الصراد أول طير صام عاشوراء خرجه الخطيب في تاريخه.
So Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi produces a hadith in his tariq, his history, where he says that the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is reported to have said the sparrowhawk was the first bird to fast Ashura.
And there are many similar narrations concerning the ants. وروي عن فتح بن شخرف قال كنت أفت للنمل القبزة كل يوم فلما كان يوم عاشوراء لم يأكلوه.
So فتح بن شخرف, he says that I used to crumble up bread to feed the ants every day. When the day of Ashura came, they wouldn't eat it. There are many narrations like this. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali gathers many of them in his book, Lata'if al-Ma'arif. Another narration reports that Abdul Qadir, the Abbasid caliph, observed the animals, or the ants rather, not eating anything that he left on the plate on Ashura. So he went to one of the scholars of his era, Abu Hassan al-Khazwini, al-Zahid, and he informed him of that. And then Abu Hassan al-Khazwini, he said that قال أن يوم عاشوراء تصومه النمل. He said it's a day that the ants fast. And similar narrations come from Abu Musa al-Madini, who's one of the great, great hadith scholars of the Ummah. So these are not just isolated mystics who maybe did too much dhikr and thought they saw the ants acting strange, but many of the great hadith scholars from Ahl al-Hadith, Abu Musa al-Madini and others, relate this. And Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, whose methodology is considered Salafi, he gathers all these narrations together in his book, Lata'if al-Ma'arif. So this is something that people should, these narrations should be seriously countenanced. The virtue of Ashura, we mentioned one of its virtues, whoever fasted, it's as if he's fast or she the entire year. And whoever gives charity on that day, it's as if he or she has given charity for the entire year.
فعن علي رضي الله عنه قال قال لرجل إن كنت صائما شهرا بعد رمضان فصم المحرم فإن فيه يوما تاب الله على قوم ويتوب فيه على آخرين. So Ali said to a man, may Allah be pleased with him, if you're going to fast any month besides Ramadan, then fast Muharram. Because in Muharram there is a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned in repentance to one group of people, referring to Adam alayhi salam, and he will turn in repentance to others. فَتَابُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَيَتُوبُ عَلَىٰ الْآخَرِينَ. And the others are all of us. And one of the practices of Ashura, that's why we did the istighfar initially, is to seek forgiveness on this day. To seek forgiveness on the day of Ashura. This was the day Adam alayhi salam was forgiven. So in addition to the children of Israel being delivered from bondage, in addition to the ark coming to rest on this day, it's also the day Adam alayhi salam was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. So Adam sought forgiveness and Allah ta'ala accepted it on this day. So this day we're encouraged to seek forgiveness. And the ummah in general, one job of the leaders of this ummah is to encourage the people to repent. To encourage the people to repent. And one reason it's the job of the political authorities is that it brings good from Allah Ta'ala to the rulers and to the lands of the Muslim. So one of the conditions of the rain prayer is before holding the prayer, the people are asked to repent to Allah and seek forgiveness for 3 days. Then they go out to the musalla and pray. So good comes through the ummah, through repentance, and through seeking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So this is something we should remind ourselves of constantly, but especially on Ashura. Set aside an hour and ask istighfar, make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah and repent from all of our sins. Let us try to do this, inshallah. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anh, who's called Al-Khamis min al-Khulafa al-Rashideen, who's sometimes referred to as the fifth of the rightly guided khalifas, or caliphs, he wrote a letter to all of the outlying towns. And in the letter, قال, قولوا كما قال أبوكم آدم, say, as your father Adam said, ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا فإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. He said, oh our Lord, we've wronged our souls, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, surely we will be amongst the great losers. Surely we will be amongst the great losers. وقال قولوا وقولوا كما قال نوح, and say as Noah said, وإلا تغفر لي وترحمني أكم من الخاسرين. If you do not forgive me and have mercy on me, I will be amongst the great losers. وَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ مُوسَى رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي. Oh my Lord, I've wronged my soul, therefore forgive me. وَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ ذُنُّونَ, and say as Jonah said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتْ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh, there is no God except Thee. Glorified art Thou. Surely I have been amongst the wrongdoers. Surely I have been amongst the wrongdoers. These are our prophets. These are prophets. So what is our state that we're not beseeching Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness? All of us, we know our sins. We know our shortcomings. We know our misdeeds. We know that which no one else knows about us. As
We mentioned a couple weeks ago the Imam Ali, when he was praised, what he said and mentioned in Nahjul Balagha, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni lima yaqulun. Don't take me to account because of what they're saying about me. Waj'alni ahsana mimma yadhunnun. And make me better than what they think of me. Waghfir li lima la ya'lamun. So, and then he said, and make me better and forgive me for those things they don't know about me. Waghfir li lima la ya'lamun. Because any one of us that people might admire, but they don't know those secret things that are between the person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of us, no matter who we are in desperate need of Allah ta'ala's forgiveness, and we're in desperate need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are encouraged to repent. And again, these were all prophets. Imam al-Bukhari says, in his Sahih, relates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet said, as Imam Bukhari relates, إن العبد إذا اعترف بذنبه ثم تاب تاب الله عليه. If the servant confesses his sins to Allah and then repents for those sins, Allah Ta'ala will turn to him or her in repentance. So the Sayyid, what's called Sayyidul Istighfar, is the following dua that all of us should learn and should say it morning and in the evening as much as it's easy for us. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this is Sayyidul Istighfar, which means Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. O Allah, you are my Lord, there is no God but thee. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk. You've created me and I am your slave. And I am acting on the basis of the covenant established between me and you, and on the basis of your promise to the best of my ability. I seek refuge with you from the evil of what I have done. Where I confess openly on the basis of the blessings you've bestowed upon me. وَأَبُو بِذَنْبِي. And I confess my sins to you. فَغْفِرْ لِي. Forgive me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتْ. For surely no one forgives sins except you. And that's one of the great, 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 great gifts we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can't receive from anyone else. That is our sins being forgiven. So we mentioned that the day is famous for fasting. And just to reiterate, the prophets, alayhim as-salam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon them, fasted this day. And we have textual proof specifically designating Nuh alayhi salam and after him Musa alayhi salam as fasting this day. We know that the Jews used to fast this day and that the Christians also fasted, but we have specific evidence mentioning the Jews fasting it in Medina, that the Quraysh before Islam used to fast the day in Jahiliyyah, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted this day in Jahiliyyah and fasted this day after Islam. And for 1 year after the Hijrah, the year after the Hijrah, before Ramadan was made incumbent during the second year, many of the scholars, amongst them Abu Hanifa, is of the opinion that it was obligatory to fast the day of Ashura. So fasting is one of the distinctions of this day. Mention the desirability of seeking forgiveness on this day, as this was the day that Adam alayhi salam was forgiven. This day is also famous, as we all know, it's the day that Imam al-Hussein was martyred. It's the day al-Hussein was martyred. And this is the day all Muslims should reflect on and should commemorate. Because al-Hussein was all of our Imams. He wasn't just Imam of the Shia, but he was the Imam of Ahli Sunnah also. And this event took place before the tenets of what will become Shia Islam were codified. So he's all of our Imams, Sunni and Shi'i. So a person who's Sunni Muslim should see no contradiction with the fundamental tenets of Ahli Sunnah by fasting this day. Also, Imam Hussein was from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're all taught to love the Prophet's family, Sunni or Shi'i. So the love, again, of the Prophet's family isn't something specifically for Shi'i, just as the love of the Sahaba shouldn't be something designated strictly for Ahli Sunnah. We should love the people that the Prophet loved, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he loved his family, and he loved his companions. He loved his wives. And again, this brings us all together. We should all, as Muslims, no matter what our orientation, be united on these points. And the beauty of the prophetic teachings is that if we look at the teachings with objectivity, we find that everyone can have a sound justification for what they're doing if what they're doing is consistent with the basic tenets of the faith. So to make an example of this, the verse in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, that rather Allah desires to purify you, purify you of all sins, to purify you of being influenced by shaitan, to purify you of all impurities, O people of the house, to purify you greatly. It's a very rough translation. This verse substantiates the view of the Shia that this verse is specifically referring to Ali, Fatima, Al-Hasan, Wal-Hussein. And the support for their position comes from an unexpected source. What would an unexpected source of support for a view that's held by the Shia come from? What would you think? Huh? From hadith, Allah barik fiki. And Imam Tirmidhi relates, Imam Abu Dawood relates, Imam Tabari relates many narrations, at least 10, on various chains of transmission, that the Prophet ﷺ nada Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Aliyan wa Fatimata wal Hasan wal Hussein wa qala haula'i ahlu bayti. He called, or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Ali, Fatima, al-Hasan, wal-Husayn, and he said, these are the people of my house. And Imam Tabari, as we mentioned, relates that at least 10 narrations, I didn't count them, that this verse was revealed concerning them. So their substantiation comes from the hadith, from sunnah, from the proofs of Ahli Sunnah. The opinion of the majority of the scholars of Ahli Sunnah is that Ahli Bayt refers to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the support for the opinion of Ahli Sunnah comes from the Quran. Because this, what we recited, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, is half of a verse. The first half and the preceding verse were revealed concerning the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنهم عن الصحابة أجمعين. So the first part of this verse say, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةَ الْأُولَى الْجَاهِلِيَةَ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَتِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. So the first part of the verse is addressing the wives of the prophets. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and stay patiently in your homes. Don't go out except for need. So this verse wasn't a proof that the women of the ummah should stay in the house. But there should be decency in our society. The Prophet ﷺ told the men to stay in the house. And we should be cognizant of these so we can look at the fullness of Islamic teaching. So no one can say, look, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. See, Islam wants women to have no role in society, just to stay in the house. The Prophet ﷺ saw a group of his Sahaba hanging out on the side of the street. What did he say? إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ عَلَى الطُّرُقَاتِ. Beware of sitting on the sides of the street. Don't hang out here. Stay in your houses unless you have a reason to come out. And then they said, but we have to come out. He said, then give the road its right. Lower your gaze, etc. Command the good, forbid the wrong. So the whole of Islamic teachings have to be looked at. In any case, so that's referring to the wives of the Prophet. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. And don't go around lewdly as women used to do before Islam. وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ Establish regular prayer, pay the binding charity, وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and obey Allah and His Messenger. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ, and then rather Allah desires to remove from you all sin and all impurities, O people of the house. So this is a continuation of what's mentioned earlier in the verse, and that's the substantiation or support for the view of Ahli Sunnah that the verse refers to the wives of the Prophet. So this is beautiful in that a source used these Sunnis rely on is supporting the Shi'i opinion, and source used the Shi'i rely on is supporting the Sunni opinion. فَخُرُوجًا مِنَ الْخِلَافِ, so to join between the opinions, all of the Muslims, Sunni Shi'i, should love and reverence the wives of the prophets and not belittle or slander or denigrate any of them in any way. And the immediate family of the Prophet, Ali, وَفَاطِمَ وَحَسَن وَالْحُسَيْنِ, and the Sahaba in general. And therefore, we touch all the bases. And whatever we should do, we shouldn't revive and try to refight the battles of the past. That's a course of fools. Because what's gone is gone. And as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran during that time concerning the earlier people, تِلْكَ الْأُمَّ قَدْ خَلَتْ, that is a nation that has passed away. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَاكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, they will have what they earned and you will have what you earned. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and you will not be asked concerning what they were doing. So that's applicable for us. Those Muslims who preceded us have gone forth to Allah Ta'ala. The good that they earn, they will have, and whatever bad they might have earned, they'll have. And we will not be asked what they we're doing. We're not going to be asked about the conflict between Imam Ali and Muawiyah, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We're not going to be asked about those events that occurred. We're going to be asked about what we did to improve this, the condition of this ummah and humanity in general. What we did to hold aloft the banner of Islam. What we did to work and to sacrifice for Islam. That is the only thing we're going to be asked about. That's the only thing we're going to be asked about. And those who preceded us, they're going to be asked about what they did. وَلَا تُسَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So we should be cognizant of that. Now, just to briefly mention Imam Hussein al-Hussein, what his going forth to a sure death in Iraq was based on his ijtihad. So we know that many of the other mujtahidun, such as Ibn Abbas, his cousin, radiallahu anhu, tried to persuade him from going forth based on his ijtihad and his assessment of the situation. And we discussed this issue in detail during the course we did Exemplars of Courage. So one of the, in discussing the stand of both Zainab bint Ali, Al-Hussein's sister Zainab, after, who was with Al-Hussein at Karbala and survived the massacre there, and Zainul Abidin, Ali bin Al-Hussein bin Ali. So Zainul Abidin was also there, and he was the only male who wasn't killed because he was sick on that day, so he didn't go forth to the immediate battlefield, but he survived and was taken to first Ibn Ziyad and then to Yazid. In any case, his ijtihad led him to go there. And his pursuit of justice and his desire to see the prophetic model reinstituted in the rule of the ummah sent him forward. And because of that, he lives on. لا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أمواتا. Don't say concerning those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are dead. Rather, they live on. And he lives on in the memory of the Muslims. All of us know about Al-Hussein. All of us know about Karbala. And as the Khatib mentioned where I went for Jum'ah today, no one knows, very unless someone student of knowledge knows who killed Hussein. If I asked right now, probably 90% of you wouldn't know who killed Al-Hussein, who commanded the force that went out to Karbala. Most people don't know, but we know Al-Hussein's name. And we know of his courage, and we know of his example. So he should be an exemplar for us that justice is something worth sacrificing for. Justice is worth sacrificing for. He sacrificed his life in the name and the pursuit of justice. So we should always remember that. And Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. O you who believe, be ye upright for justice. كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. And this is an emphatic form. صِيغَ مُبَالَغَةً. قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Upright, standing up for justice. شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. Witnesses for Allah. And again, this is something we should never forget. And this should couch how we see Islam, that we are witnesses for the people. Now, if we're caught up into everything the people are caught up with, how can we be witnesses? Witnesses imply some sort of a normative standard. So if we
reject any standard, much less try to be that standard, then we are squandering or failing in one of the duties that we've been commissioned as an ummah. And none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to question us about that yawm al-qiyamah. كُنُوا قَوَامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ And كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ You're the best community raised up for the people, for the service of the people. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا Thus have we made you a balanced nation, a middle nation. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ That you will be witnesses against the people. وَيَقُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا And the messenger himself will be a witness against you. So we have a job in terms of our witnessing. And one of the witnesses is for justice. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطَ Be ye witnesses to justice, or upright rather, for justice. Be upright for justice. And another closely related verse, شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ Witnesses for justice. So that is part of our role as an ummah. And again, that implies some sort of a standard. So in our just little things, we should be upright. And we should be witnesses. For example, using pornography. You find some Muslims who come here from other countries, and they get jobs, and they're working with people, and they hear people using this language, and so they start using it. So I'm not trying to impugn their character. They're just imitating the other people. It's unbecoming of a Muslim. If you hear that, give the Muslim nasiha. Because growing up in this society as a Christian, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, we couldn't even whisper one of those words. This was before they put people in jail for punishing their children. We would be severely punished. Now, if you ever said in the presence of any of your elders, your parents, especially if you've said it to them, I'm not exaggerating. So I'm not saying we should start punishing people, but we should give people advice. This is not becoming a Muslim. How will we be witnesses when in our behavior we're beneath the people we're witnessing to? And that's where the Prophet comes. وَيَكُونَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا So يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ If any of the nations try to claim they'd never got the prophetic message, we will witness against them. This is in the hereafter. And if we try to claim, well, we really didn't know Islam. You know, it was not clear. It was fuzzy. The Prophet will witness against us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At his farewell address, the last thing he said at Arafah, هَلْ بَلَّغْتْ Did I deliver the message? اللَّهُمَّ اشْهَدْ Oh Allah, bear witness that I have. He called Allah Ta'ala to witness that he delivered the message to this ummah. He called Allah to witness that he delivered the message to this ummah. So if any of us say he didn't, or we really didn't get it, it wasn't clear, then the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going to witness against us. I gave the message. And what you need from the essential parts of it is clear. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ What's lawful is clear, and what's unlawful is clear. And there are some gray areas. وَبَيْنُهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ And there are gray areas that most of the people don't know the ruling of those areas. So what should you do? فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ You should avoid those things. فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَعَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْدِهِ Whoever avoids the doubtful things has escaped with his religion and honor intact. Whoever avoids the doubtful things has escaped with his religion and honor intact. فَنَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ So in conclusion, we are people who pursue justice, but not at any cost. We are never the people, as Malcolm X said, he said it before he understood Islam thoroughly, by any means necessary. No. By any lawful means necessary. By any divinely sanctioned means necessary. But not by any means necessary. So we're not the shining path, the Marxist guerrillas, or Maoist guerrillas in Peru, in the jungles. We're the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have a law to guide our actions in everything. So we don't say our pursuit of justice allows us to kill civilians. Our pursuit of justice allows us to kill other Muslims. Never. Never. And we should hold on to that principle. And we should pursue justice, but we should pursue justice within the confines of Sharia. So we'll stop here. It's late, and this was just a little gathering to say a few things about Ashura. There's a question about the Sunni understand the hadith concerning Ghadir Qum. The hadith is widely used by Shia to explain that actually happened, the events of Ghadir Qum, where the Prophet ﷺ gathered his companions and he praised Imam Ali. But there are different interpretations of that. Shia interpret that as that was the nomination of Imam Ali to succeed him. And the Ahli Sunnah do not deny that hadith. The hadith is in Bukhari, it's in Muslim, it's in most of the Sunni compilations. But Ahli Sunnah interpret the hadith to mean that the Prophet ﷺ was extolling the virtues of Imam Ali radiallahu an. And amongst the things that indicate that Abu Bakr radiallahu an, wa anhum ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with all of the companions, was rightfully the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that during the Prophet's illness, he nominated Abu Bakr radiallahu an to lead the community in prayer. And during the Prophet's life, this was one of the functions of the prophetic office. So the one to precede him as the Khalifa, which meant successor, is the one that he designated to hold that office during his lifetime, during the time of his illness, before his death. And there are others, proofs. So again, one should always look at the big picture. And when one looks at the big picture, you gain respect for all of the opinions. So the events at Ghadir Qum did occur. The Ghadir means a pond or spring of water between Mecca and Medina, closer to Mecca, where the Prophet ﷺ gathered his companions. So that did occur, and it's mentioned in Sunni sources. But there's a difference of opinion concerning the interpretation. And one of the beautiful things I heard when I was visiting an Iranian friend of mine when I went back east a few weeks ago, we were in their house watching the Iranian satellite channel. And it was the day of Ghadir Qum, the very day. So the Islamic Republic of Iran had a special celebration to commemorate that day. And the Hujjatul Islam is one of the titles of their scholars beneath the Ayatollah, who was giving the lecture. It was question and answer session. So he was asked about this hadith. He said it occurred. The Sunnis recognize it, the Shia recognize it. And then he was asked, what did it mean when Ali, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praised Ali? Allah is my witness. You know what he said? He said, I don't know. I wasn't there. He said, I don't know, I wasn't there. So, in other words, I have an opinion, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. As Imam Shafi said, and this is a beautiful saying of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said, I believe I'm right. But then again, you could be right, and that being the case, I could be wrong. So I have an opinion on this or that affair, and I think I'm right. That's why I articulate this particular opinion. But I could be wrong. And the possibility that I'm wrong means that the other person could be right. So in other words, hold on to your opinions, but not so doggedly that you don't admit the possibility that the contravailing opinion might be right. Therefore, you don't respect it. So I think you're wrong, but I respect your opinion. If it's based on something sound from the sources of the religion. And that's how we should approach our affair. And that'll save us a lot of misery and a lot of disputation over the deen. Because it's not our way to argue about the religion. Present it and people can ponder it, accept it, or reject it. فَنَسَلُ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ. We ask Allah that He forgives us on this day. We ask Allah He blesses all of us with the strength to fast tomorrow. One of the things we didn't relate it, but it's related by many sound narrations, that when the Prophet ﷺ ordered the companions to fast on Ashura, they ordered their children. And one narration, they would gather the children in the masjid and give them toys to play with so they could fast and not think about being hungry. And then it says if they complained of hunger, they would give them a little something to eat until iftar time came. So we should all try to fast, encourage our families, members to fast, encourage who can, and the children also to fast. Even if they're small, tell them to fast. We should encourage the children, but naturally, if they get hungry, feed them. Then tell them to fast some more so they get used to it. وجزاكم الله خيرا نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى قبول لنا ولكم جميعا إنه على كل شيء قدير وإنه بالحمد جدير وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تدع عندنا ولا فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم تقبل منا اللهم تقبل منا اللهم تقبل منا اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية معافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول بيننا وبين معصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا بها جنتك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأبصارنا وأسماعنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة.
For more information on traditional Islam in America, please contact Zaytuna Institute at 510-582-1979 and on the internet at www.zaytuna.org.